Welcome to the Presence Driven Life Podcast. I'm Cindy Powell, your host and a fellow pilgrim on the journey to know Jesus and make him known. The world around us has grown increasingly chaotic, but in his presence is fullness of joy. Join me today as we explore what it might look like to live from the beauty and peace of his presence. Hi, everyone. This is Cindy. Welcome again to another episode of the Presence Driven Life Podcast. It's been a few weeks since we've posted a new episode. If you happen to listen to our last episode, you know that we're intentionally taking a little break through the holidays and only posting a few episodes over the next couple of months as opposed to every week. But I am really excited to share a new episode with you today because I know it's going to be a good one. I'm sitting here with my friend Sue Robson. I've known Sue for probably a good 10, 12 years now. Does that sound about right? I know
maybe
it's
10 for sure.
At least 10. Yeah, at least 10 for sure. We always joke that Jesus pretty much made us be friends. I won't take the time to tell the whole story, but let's just say that it's very clear that God was intimately involved in us meeting and made it very clear that we were to be connected. And I must admit that he has some really great ideas because I just love this lady. And I'm looking really forward to you gleaning from her wisdom. Sue and her husband, Dave, pastored in the local area for many years. However, for at least the last decade or so, I know longer than I've known you. Yeah. They've switched their focus to more of a life coaching role and currently operate Life Source Coaching, where they just excel in helping people take the next steps in their journey, whether that's in leadership coaching or finding personal freedom, which I know is a passion of Sue's and mine as well, which probably is another reason why Jesus decided we needed to be friends. But anyway, since we're approaching the holidays and many people have all sorts of really complicated emotions this time of year, both good and bad, I thought that Sue would be the perfect person to have a conversation with about authentically finding his presence in the holidays while still being honest and true about the many challenges this time of year can bring, because it does bring a lot of challenges. I know that's been my own personal story. But before we go there, is there anything else you wanted to add, Sue, just about your background or anything I left out or that you want to clarify?
Yeah, not really. First of all, I just want to say thanks for having me on, Cindy.
Of course.
I loved your podcast and watching you shine. It's been really fun. And so it's a real privilege to be here today. So thanks for that.
Mine too. It's really funny. We're sitting at my little table. I always talk about my little table. And if you all could see it, it really is a little table. And I always feel like there's something so profound about that imagery of just coming to the table together and just having a conversation.
Yeah.
And of course, you and I have them in all kinds of ways and across all kinds of tables. Actually, you have a very large table that I have sat at many times. That's one thing I also want to say about Sue and her husband is they model family very, very well and even provide, I would say, a sense of family for some local spiritual orphans.
Sometimes we have lots of kids.
Yeah. But that's something that everybody doesn't have, but that, which is, again, why I like to have these conversations kind of on air, so to speak, because not everybody has the luxury of having people that they can sit down and have these kind of conversations with. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's something that I've always admired about you and Dave. And I mean, it's not like it's not something I haven't said to you many times before, that you model family well. And by that, I don't mean perfect family, because you'd be the very first to say that.
Very messy.
Yes. And that's the thing. And that family is messy. Real family is messy, but there's a level of commitment that is so consistent in you guys. And I've experienced that in my own life and other people in our, you know, we have a little
community
group. Yeah, we do.
Tribe.
Yeah, we do. It's kind of a hodgepodge, you know, but it's us and it's real. And like I said, not everybody has that healthy sense or that healthy model of family. And even if you don't have natural family that you have that with, you know, you can develop that spiritual tribe. But even that, there's people that don't always have that. And so when we talk about the holidays, you know, if you're in that situation where, you know, whether you have healthy family or you don't have healthy family, but you have healthy spiritual family, or you have none of the above, you know, how do we approach this time of year, the most wonderful time of the year that sometimes is the most challenging time of the year for so many? How do we approach it with honesty and yet still maintain an attitude of gratitude that positions us for vertical connection?
So good. Yeah. You know, first, I want to respond to your comment about modeling family. Mm-hmm. I think in these kinds of situations, as the listeners might think, well, they probably really came from great families. And while we came from, I'm thankful for the families God put us in. I will say with both Dave and I, mm-hmm. That there was a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
A lot of brokenness. I mean, you name it, we had it in my family. And I did not grow up in a Christian home. There was alcoholism, you know, mental illness, all the things. And Dave had a ton of perfectionism. And so what I will say about that messy commitment to family, it's been Jesus, number one, you know.
Amen.
It's been the commitment to family and also the commitment to growth.
I mean,
to say, you know, Jesus, who will continue the work that he began in us until the day of Christ.
Amen.
Jesus. It has been a commitment to really work on mm-hmm. ourselves mm-hmm. and to work on our marriage and to have honest, hard conversations with each other and defuse our triggers. And that has been a lifelong commitment, because if you would have seen us in the early years, you would have just said, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before.
Yeah. So, and our kids have had a ton of grace with mm-hmm. us, and we're grateful for that. And our spiritual kids now that we have, you know, there's real truth to the scripture, you know, that we have no greater joy than that our children walk in the truth.
Yeah. But I love that, Sue, because that just kind of gives, it really just backs up what we were talking about before, that it's not perfection, that it's messy. But when you commit to process, which mm-hmm. really is what mm-hmm. you're talking about. I mean, obviously commit to Jesus first and foremost and know that he's committed to you and to your process.
Right.
And then you commit to the process
right.
with him. That's really what it takes. And I want to just add this, and I think Dave's not here, but I think he would be totally okay with this. This is one of the things, Dave, Sue's husband, who is also, I consider to be a very good friend, he and I are wired probably about as opposite as you can possibly be.
Right.
And so there have been times in discussions of, you know, spiritual things and things of that
right.
nature that, you know, we don't always exactly see eye to eye.
Right. Yeah.
But one of the things I have always known about Dave is that he is always willing to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I feel completely 100% safe about that.
Yeah.
That if I'm feeling something, it's like, okay, I don't have to feel like this. I can, mm-hmm. I know I can go talk to him
yeah.
and he's actually going to listen.
Yeah.
And that's remarkable. I mean, that should be normal.
Yeah.
But sadly,
it's oftentimes not. And I think that's a part of the healing journey. I think that's the part of the redemptive process. Mm-hmm. We're all going to get triggered because we have
sure.
those broken places in our lives. Mm-hmm. But are we willing to like push in? And that's part of what I want to talk about later is
yeah.
like pushing into those broken places, inviting Jesus in, sometimes having hard conversations, and so that it can be redemptive.
Right, exactly.
And that we get a new story out of like the old story, because
exactly.
I think God's always wanting to give us a new story.
That's so good. And you know, this is so typical of how these things go. You know, we start out with an idea and then something goes here and then something goes there. But that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to
Amen.
Take the flow of the podcast, the episode, whatever, wherever it goes. And I mean, I think even though there are some other things we definitely do want to cover, I think just having this conversation as a baseline, that when it comes to relationship, I don't care whether it's your natural family, your spiritual family, or just, you know, whatever relationships you have, that it's messy, but it's worth the effort to press in. There's always a caveat there that
with safe people.
Exactly. Exactly. And see, that's what I was saying about Dave. It's like, even though in a conversation, maybe for a moment, because I'm not feeling heard or understood, I might feel unsafe in that moment. But I know in the relationship,
yeah,
I'm safe.
Yeah.
I know I know his character.
Yeah.
I know I can. And those are uncomfortable things for anybody when you have to say, hey, that hurt me.
Especially when a lot of us have trauma about conflict.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, this, like I said, it was kind of a bunny trail, but cultivate those relationships. Yes. The ones that, where maybe you don't always see eye to eye. Maybe you're not lockstep and you're not joined at the hip. But that's humanity. Right. You know, God likes variety and we're all different people, but find the people that their character is to persevere. Their character is to love. Mm-hmm. Their value is love and connection and commitment to continue on in relationship and not have a break unless there truly is no other option. Right. I mean, because obviously you can't do the other person's part. So if somebody's not reciprocating, you know, that's a completely different story.
And along with that, and I said this at the beginning, continue to invest in your own growth, because I look at myself as a coach, and even though I've got the master's degree in counseling, the coach, and with the coach credentialing process, I do a lot of spiritual direction in my coaching. Really, it's been my own counseling, coaching, and spiritual direction that I've been the recipient of that has helped me to give away, because you can't give away what you haven't, you know, really.
What you don't have.
Yeah, what you don't have. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. So anyway, that was a much longer intro than
we
expected, but I think it's relevant to the overall conversation, which really is, you know, in this time where people are dealing with all different kinds of dysfunction and their family situations, their relational situations, dealing with a lot of difficulties just in life. The world is a pretty crazy place right now, and a lot of people are dealing with a lot of stuff. You know, given that these are facts, you know, they're not our whole reality, but they are the set of facts, the temporary facts that we're dealing with right now. Given that, how do we stay focused on thankfulness through a holiday like Thanksgiving?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts there. One is, I heard recently, this was probably on Instagram or somewhere, that if you put a person under an MRI and you ask them to connect with anxiety, the part of the brain that lights up is the same part of the brain that lights up with gratitude. And so that really spoke to me because so many times I think, you know, I don't want to be anxious. I don't want certain emotions, but pushing them down doesn't necessarily work.
Right.
So I'm always all about strategies, practical strategies.
That's good.
To either replace them with or actually to deal with them. So one strategy, especially in Thanksgiving and Christmas, is just replacing the anxiety or the thoughts, because thoughts lead to emotions and emotions lead to actions. And so if we can really truly take every thought captive to obedience to Christ, it's a powerful thing.
It totally is. In fact, to me, that is a spiritual discipline. That is a spiritual formation. You know, it's we talk about things like, you know, the discipline of prayer or the discipline of fasting, the discipline of, you know, reading your Bible, whatever. But the discipline of learning to take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, captive to the truth, is probably more, well, I don't want to say more, because they all work together. They partner together. But it's a critical life skill.
Oh, man.
I mean, if I could, even in my own life, if I were to boil down to one thing that has literally, because it's what the word says, it's like, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
And that is the thing. It's like speaking truth over myself is the thing that has renewed my mind. Even when you were talking about the part of your brain that lights up, it's that scripture in Philippians, it's like, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need.
With gratitude.
Thank Him for all He has done. And then God's peace.
Yeah.
And again, it's not denying the worry. It's not denying the anxiety. It's in the worry, in the anxiety, pray.
Yeah.
And think.
And before that is even don't be anxious, is rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice.
Right.
Because the Lord is near.
Yes, truth. And again, see, that's truth. It's like it's positioning yourself in truth. And this is something we talk about a lot. It's like you can position yourself in truth without feeling truth.
Amen.
And that's, I think that's the rub. It's like people don't feel it. And they're like, they throw up their hands and they think, oh, it's not working.
Right.
Well, try it for 3 months. Okay.
Right.
Who cares about the feelings? Just tell the feelings to, you know, go do whatever feelings do.
Yeah.
And feel them when you need to feel them.
Right.
But don't worry about having an outcome. Just
release the outcome.
Yes. Yeah. Let go of the outcome. And instead just engage consistently.
Yeah.
With the truth.
I love it. So that was, as you were originally talking about this idea of like, how do we enjoy the holidays? How do we keep it real, be authentic, but sometimes they're hard. I think there's two aspects of that. One is pressing in to the feelings without giving in to the feelings.
That's a good word.
Pressing in without giving in.
Yeah.
So
give an example of that.
Well, I was thinking about, as you were talking about, okay, we're thinking I'm going to go spend time with my family, or I'm going to this party and I don't feel happy or whatever. I think the first thing is like even just preparation, preparing your heart, inviting Jesus into the anxiety. And what I'll do is I will try to hold the space for whatever it is I'm feeling. Like, what is it I'm feeling? So it's the awareness, like that both of our thoughts and our emotions, like, okay, I'm thinking these thoughts and I'm feeling these feelings. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to deal with both of them.
Yes.
So when I say hold the feelings or push into the feelings, I'm talking about things like, well, I'm concerned that, you know, I'm going to be left out.
Acknowledge them. Give them space.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah. And so if I'm left out, what then? Well, I'm going to feel really alone. And so I think I oftentimes will ask the question, well, if that's true, what then? And then I'll ask it again. If that's true, what then? Most times we're getting that kind of down to either the core lie or the core emotion. Mm-hmm. And then I ask the question, once we kind of get down there, is like, where's that familiar? It's really important that you don't just stay in your head on this one, where you go to the emotion. Oh yeah. I'm like, it's familiar a lot where have felt alone and insecure and not valued. And maybe, you know, Jesus, will you bring up a memory where that was the case? And then there it is. There's that memory and all that anxiety, all that like discomfort is there. And then you just say, Jesus, you were always with me, even when I didn't know you. So show me where you were. Come, give me a new memory of that situation because I don't remember you in it. So I'll just like literally do a little encounter with Jesus real quick. And I'm thinking about Ephesians because I've been reading in Ephesians 1 in the Passion Translation where it talks about the eyes of our heart or our imaginations being flooded with light.
Yes.
And I think every one of these current traumas oftentimes is tied into an old trauma.
Well, it's tied into a core lie. Yeah. And I think, isn't that the not giving into it when you can bring light into that and say, okay,
where you're pushing into it.
Yeah.
It's not the, oh, I am all alone. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me.
No, I have these feelings because I have experienced these things.
Yeah.
These experiences were real, but the lies that they established in my being are not real.
Right. And so it's not about powering through in these moments. It's not about pushing it down. It's about inviting Jesus in.
Yeah, that's
like
so good.
Holding the space for yourself and your heart, getting alone with Jesus and just inviting to speak to the deep places of our mm-hmm. soul that need healing and restoration and Amen. Repair. Amen. Because then it changes everything. It's like right. that song that says, when you walk into the room, yes, everything changes. That. Yeah. And that's kind of the thing when we bring him into those memories, mm-hmm. like the memory shifts and then we shift.
Right. And then you're creating a new memory, right. actually. Right. That's where the flooding with light comes Amen. In. Yeah. And it's establishing a new core memory with him at the center
right,
of it.
Right.
And I can bear witness in my own life with not just things related to the holidays, but some of the deepest core trauma in my life. Healing came when I asked Jesus, where were you?
Mm-hmm. Me
and,
too.
And then he showed me his reality.
Right.
You know, and those things are hard. You know what I mean? This is not a one and done.
No, amen. You know? I oftentimes say it's yeah. like a big, thick rope, and you're using this big scissors, clippers to cut the threads. Right. And you can say, well, I've done that, and I've done that, right. and I've done this work, and I've done inner healing, and I've done counseling, and I've done right. coaching. But it's a process by which
right.
You continue that work as God continues it in you. And eventually, the rope, the threads get less thick.
Amen. Amen. And again, I don't mean to keep interjecting with my own life, but just to give it context, it's because one of the things I think I have dealt with quite a bit in this past season is kind of just dealing with my own disappointment with myself mm-hmm. in certain areas mm-hmm. that, oh, dang, I'm not further along there. Mm-hmm. Come
right.
on.
Yeah, right. Oh, there you are. I remember this.
How long have I been at this?
Yeah, right.
And Jesus, do I really know you the way I say I know you?
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with that, you right. know, because it's he has all of me and I am fully redeemed in him. Mm. However, walking that process out in fullness and wholeness on this side is a lifetime endeavor
right, right.
and actually is, and I hate to say it this way. And so to the listeners, I'm working this out as I'm saying it. So give me some grace. I think it's okay to be weak and it's Amen. Okay to not have the answers.
Amen.
And I almost feel like, and this is the part that may sound a little controversial, almost the more comfortable you are with not having it all together and with camping out in your weakness, if that's where you have to in order to find him, it's almost like that almost expedites healing.
Oh, amen. I agree. Because I think of, you know, Old Testament, the kings that kind of said, we're going to get creamed without you. I don't know what to do. I don't, you know, when they went to the Lord and they sought right. him, he met them. But the ones who had it all together, he disciplined them
right.
because they didn't seek him.
In fact, in one of the last episodes when I was talking to Tracy Brown, someone mm-hmm. I know you know
yes,
and love.
Yes, my good friend.
Yes. And we were talking a lot about this. We were talking about kind of like camping out in your weakness and how God often builds capacity in the most counterintuitive ways
Amen.
By having us be face to face with our limitations over and over and over again. Those times where literally you don't have the space, you don't have the capacity, that's when he builds capacity
Amen.
Because he does.
Amen.
But it has to be an acknowledgement and not a fear to just plow through it mm-hmm. and like, okay, you know, divide and conquer. I mean, you can maybe do that for a while, but there's a place where you reach burnout with that really quickly. And I think coming back to the topic of the holidays, I was never good at divide and conquer. I'm not going to even pretend mm-hmm. I was ever good at it. But there are people who are, mm-hmm. you know.
Powering through.
Yeah. And I just didn't power through. I withdrew mm-hmm. because I couldn't power through. Mm-hmm. But when I realized I could withdraw with him
right.
and then not power through, but walk through holding his hand
yeah.
and his strength
yeah.
and that I didn't have to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to like it.
Yeah.
But just acknowledging that, taking the pressure off to make a particular thing happen, you know, it's like one of my best thoughts ever about Christmas, and I'm jumping ahead to a holiday, but you know, we're talking about the holidays, yeah. not just Thanksgiving. But one of my best thoughts ever about Christmas was when I realized, well, Jesus, I celebrate the fact that you came 365 days a year. So why am I putting pressure on myself to make this one day the end all be all of something that I literally celebrate with every breath in my body?
Yeah.
And that just gave me freedom to embrace the moments that were good and just get through. Release, get through the ones that weren't.
Yeah.
And it's even okay, just the thought of getting through it. In fact, I wrote a blog post. I don't know. It's been a very long time ago. It's probably one of my most often shared blog posts. In fact, I'll put a link in the show notes. But it was called Getting Through It, How to Survive the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Amen.
And part of it was just the Lord allowing me to use that language, that it's okay to approach it. I'm going to get through it. That I didn't have to have this amazing, joyful,
inauthentic.
Yes, lie. Because let's face it, there's people out there that I love the way John Mark Comer puts it, that they won the serotonin lottery. You know, that's just who they are. And it is authentic for them. Mm-hmm. For me, it's not. I have to fight for gratitude. I have to fight for joy. I do fight for it, and I have it quite often because of that. But it doesn't come naturally to me. It's a supernatural gift that I choose to receive by faith and sometimes guts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, yeah. So
that pushing in versus giving in would be kind of the first one, kind of acknowledging. And I will tell you, sometimes we can have resistance to connect with our pain. It's a little bit like saying, I'm going to put my hand on this hot stove. It's very counterintuitive, as you were saying.
Yeah.
So sometimes...
Well, everything in us wants to avoid it.
Right.
Why would we want to go back there?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when you're getting a massage and you find the knot and the knot keeps moving. You know, our body wants to avoid the pain. Sometimes we're even going to need some help to be able to hold the pain and even start at a higher level of kind of, what am I believing if I let myself feel this pain?
Yeah.
That it's going to be too much. I'll never stop crying. I'll fall apart. I won't be able to function. Mm-hmm. And then just inviting Jesus right there. Jesus, what do you want me to know about that? Mm-hmm. What do you want me to know right there? And so there's a lot of tools we have that can help people kind of peel away the layers towards that. But that's the first thing I would say, is pushing into the pain versus giving into the pain.
Yeah. And one of the things you're saying without saying is really to give yourself grace in that.
Amen. And awareness.
You don't have to do it perfectly. I think that is so much of it, just giving yourself grace to be where you're at and to walk the process and bringing people alongside of you that support the process, because there's always going to be those lovely people that we all have in our lives that are not supportive of the process. And I think you just need to do what you have to do to minimize your contact.
Right. So there's two other things I want to just talk about. Please. I don't know how we're doing on time.
I think we're just fine.
Okay. One is kind of a understanding the warfare that, is around us and tending to it. Mm-hmm. So both with the lies that we talked about, if we can be aware of, like, this feels really true, but whatever our core lies are, like, maybe I'm going to be alone, or I'll fail, or, you know, it'll be uncomfortable. That may be true. You know, some of these things, or I'm powerless. Well, maybe that is true, but there is a shift in when Jesus is with us in that powerlessness.
Right, because he's never powerless.
Amen. Yeah. We do have power. So the other thing, the other tool I use is actually confessing, repenting of the lies that even feel true. And I'll just say, you know, in Jesus' name, I confess and repent to partnering with the lie that I am always going to be abandoned and that I will be alone. And so I thank you for your forgiveness. I repent for the ways that I've played this out in a self-fulfilling prophecy and isolated myself before somebody could isolate or leave me. I repent and I forgive myself. So receiving God's forgiveness, I receive your forgiveness and I forgive myself. Mm-hmm. So it's that whole confession, repentance, and then I'll just do a real quick thing where I'll go, and so you identify the lie. So, and then right now, in the name and the authority of Jesus,
amen,
I bind up that lie. I strip it of its rights and I say no more. And even though it feels really true, it's not in line with your word. And so I put that at your feet and I cover it by your blood. Sometimes I will actually write down the lies or write down even the emotions that I haven't been able to, like maybe it's judgment or agitation or irritation. Sometimes I'll just go, God, I can't quite get rid of this judgmental thing I've got going right now and this agitation. So I just confess and I break agreement with judgment and the things we don't like about ourselves, you know, and I just bind those negative emotions up and I put them at your feet. And I ask you, Jesus, mm-hmm. to impart supernaturally. Mm-hmm. I need an injection. Amen. I break agreement with fear and I need an injection supernaturally of faith because mm-hmm. I don't have it. Amen. And so as I bind up fear, cover it by the blood of Jesus, put it under his feet, and then ask him to impart the opposite spirit. I remember one day I was having a really bad day. I was like, I just couldn't get out of it. I tried all the like inviting Jesus. I was still irritated and grumpy and judgmental. And I just wrote down all the emotions. And then I said, what's the opposite of those things? Mm-hmm. Judgment, acceptance. Of agitation, peace. Mm-hmm. So I just confessed, bound him up, put him at the feet of Jesus, covered him by the blood. And then I asked him to supernaturally inject me with the opposite, with acceptance mm-hmm. for myself and for others mm-hmm. to impart supernaturally faith because I don't have it. And just like let him put it in me. And it was amazing. I mean, this was like a 10-minute exercise as I journaled mm-hmm. and I wrote down those things and I wrote down the antithesis of what that is. And then I, you know, confessed and repented and I bound it up and I put mm-hmm. it under his feet, covered it by the blood. And then I asked him mm-hmm. to give me the opposite spirit. It was like, bam, I was like, wow, I'm almost, you know, I'm later in life and I wish I would have had this tool when I was, you know, yeah. 25 or 30. But it was just a little acknowledgement of where I was. I mean, you can leave your event, run into the bathroom.
Right, right. And that's
and do that.
That is the thing, that it's not always, it doesn't always have to be a long, drawn out thing. But I love so many of the things you're saying. And I mean, first of all, just repentance. And we've talked about this before, but repentance at its purest essence is simply changing your mind. Right. You're breaking agreement with whatever lie you're believing, and mm-hmm. you are coming into agreement with the truth. So often we think of it as being action-oriented, and it affects actions, mm-hmm. but it starts with a belief. It starts with a confession. And, mm-hmm. and that's the thing. It's like, and those are, again, going back to some of the things we were talking about at the beginning, those are disciplines. Mm-hmm. Those are things that you have to build into your life. They don't happen overnight, but these are great tools. I mean, just the idea of replacing lies with truth mm-hmm. and
tangibly,
right. And I want to acknowledge, though, sometimes that you're in such a place of pain and such a place of darkness, yeah. even, that you don't have it in you to do that right. whole process. That's where you do what you can.
Right. Yeah. Or you call somebody who will do it with you.
Yes. If you have somebody who will yeah. do it with you, which yeah. I hope most people do, but I always am mindful of the fact that not only does not everybody have somebody, but sometimes you're in that place that even if you do have somebody, you convince yourself you don't.
Right.
And some of you know exactly.
And with that, I would say, set it up in advance.
Yeah.
That you know, say, I may call you and I may need you to remind me
yes.
of these things. And yes. I had a friend once call me many years ago and she said, I've done all the things. I've prayed all the prayers. I've yeah. done all the things and it's not working. I need somebody to mm-hmm. pray with me. And we did it together and something shifted. And that is the whole confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. You know, that's exactly. the healing process. I don't know why.
Exactly.
But for some reason, God uses mm-hmm. relationship for healing. Because I think
he does.
Yeah. And yeah. brokenness, I mean, happens in the context of relationship. And I think right. healing happens in the context of relationship.
See, that's a really important point because all brokenness does happen in the context of relationship. And something I've stressed over and over again on here is, it's again, some people have access to a number of people in their spiritual community or in their natural family or in their friend group or whatever, and others don't. But sometimes there's even online resources, and that is a poor substitute. It's not the ideal, but it's better than nothing. I mean, we have, because we do have access to really literally community around the world, anybody can find somebody who's like-minded. There's a number of sites where you can get prayer, where you can reach out. And so, you know, the thing is just don't give up.
Amen. And I got one more tool. I remember before I don't know if I even knew Jesus, but, or if it was early days of my spiritual walk with Jesus. I remember my journal was my best friend. So journal.
Yes.
Journal. And then write your thoughts out, but then stop and listen to what God has to say to you. I love Mark Verkler, Communion with God Ministries. He has got a quick little video. It's cwgministries.org. It's the four keys to hearing God's voice.
But he was really helpful for my son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He uses, he gives a real simple technique for spiritual journaling where he uses Habakkuk 2, but he it's about listening, not editing what you sense God might be saying, setting yourself aside, connecting with Jesus, and then journaling but not editing, asking God questions and then letting him respond to you.
Right.
And actually for many of my clients, that technique of two-way journaling is what we call it, has been extremely powerful for healing, but also for direction. Some of my clients who are business owners get downloads of strategy of like, what are the next steps of what I'm supposed to do? So, you know, obviously we are never alone. Jesus is always with us. And it's so this learning how to cultivate different ways to hear his voice and experience his presence with us.
Amen. You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, another tool that has been really helpful for me in the past, Graham Cook would call it a crafted prayer. I never learned that language until much later, but early on, I just looked up scriptures that spoke truth to specific things that I struggled with. Just like you're talking about, that for the Lord is near. You know, if you're feeling like he's far away, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You are never alone. You know, so it's like look up scriptures that speak directly to the lies you are prone to believing. And ahead of time, when you're in a good place, put them into a prayer. You know, Lord, thank you that I am never alone because you have promised to never leave me or forsake you. Thank you that your thoughts for me are only good. You know, they're more numerous than the sands on whatever it is, whatever the specific promises are. I love Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. So right there, it's like, I have no one to help me. Jesus said, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. That is a promise. So take those promises, write them down, craft them into a prayer so that when you're in that dark place, you don't have to work at it. You just pull out a piece of paper
or
that you already
a phone.
Have.
I would really recommend that you
putting put it in your phone.
You put it in your phone.
Yeah.
Your notes.
Actually, a piece of paper is a little outdated at this point.
Well, honestly, we don't can't find the piece of paper when we need it. I put it in my notes section.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
I have them on
but
my
no, screen. I know you do. Yeah, it's right there. We are in this digital age and you know, and you might need to just put a note to yourself. What do I do? Step one, pray this prayer. Step two, push into the emotion. Step three, bind up the lies, bind up the, you know, negative thinking or the emotions that I can't quite release. Step five, what was that, four or five? I don't know.
I think you were on, yeah, so this is five.
Next one is phone a friend.
I was just going to say, if all that doesn't, yeah, have your phone a friend.
Yes. Who's my person?
Whoever that is.
And yeah, so all of those things. Mm-hmm. And then I want to give one, I think we're probably getting close to time, but one last thing. Forgiveness statements are something
toward yourself and toward others.
That's exactly right. If you, Dave and I have a technique we use that we declare certain forgiveness statements, but we also use whole body techniques, mind body techniques. Mm-hmm. We use tapping. So if you want to find out about those forgiveness statements, we have a whole video on YouTube about it, but you can go to Life Source Coaches. Mm-hmm. You said Life Source Coaching at the beginning.
Did I? Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good. The only reason I'm correcting it.
I'll put a link in the
notes. The only reason I'm correcting it is because they won't be able to find it.
Right. But I will put a link.
Yeah. LifeSourceCoaches.com. And then it's the resource page. So scroll down, find forgiveness statements. And for me, I always knew that I needed to maybe forgive people and I'd work hard at it. I'm like, I'm trying to forgive, but I couldn't quite always tangibly do it. So these forgiveness statements are tapping and declaring that.
Well, and again, I want to state that forgiveness is an act of the will. It's not a feeling.
Right. It's a commandment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we say a lot about forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge in what we do.
It is.
Not for the other person, but for you. Exactly. Mostly because unforgiveness mm-hmm. opens up a door
right.
to the enemy
exactly.
in your life. Exactly. And we cannot afford that.
Right.
Exactly. It's access, direct access to the enemy to be attacked and to have warfare and to create strongholds in mm-hmm. our life that are not of God.
Yeah.
So
key, guys. This is so key. I mean, forgiveness is such a core understanding, I guess, and a core value.
Yeah.
I want to say that keep that list short. And again, don't neglect to forgive yourself.
Amen.
And sometimes even God. Yeah, I mean, do we have anything to forgive God for? No.
Right.
But sometimes there's still offenses that we are holding against Him.
Absolutely.
And we
which
need to
builds
release it.
Walls.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
And so the forgiveness is for us, even right. though we're forgiving God because we're right. misunderstanding. And oftentimes my forgiveness statement might be, I forgive God for abandoning me. And then my next one might be, I forgive myself for blaming God.
Right.
For projecting onto God what my dad did.
Right. And then you go back into what you were talking about before, the repentance.
I repent for
believing the lie that you have abandoned.
Yes.
See, it's a process.
Yes.
And it all builds upon each other. But just the forgiveness and the repentance is so key. And those are things that are almost, they're
so simple.
They're so simple and they're kind of out of vogue right now.
Really?
Which is ridiculous.
But they are so key.
It's central to our spiritual and mental and emotional health.
Right.
And especially this.
And physical health because.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
Our trauma goes to our bodies, right?
Exactly.
And that's really what Dave and I are about in our coaching, ministry is connecting body, soul, spirit. Mm-hmm. And so. Go to that, Life Source Coaches page, hit the resource section, scroll down, find forgiveness statements for yourself, for God, for others. And the technique that we use actually really works. Why it works, I don't always know, but I know we are energy, not new age energy, but we are an electrical system and it's quantum physics.
It is,
scientists are learning more and more about that. But we can hack into some of these ways to get the truth into our subconscious by some of these body soul techniques. Yeah, body soul spirit techniques.
Yeah, and again, this is like a very, very, very condensed crash course of something that can get very complex and nuanced, but it doesn't have to be complicated, especially when you keep it centered on truth and just remember those keys, the various steps that Sue was talking about. But again, just kind of as you approach the holidays, if you approach it with a place of keeping your own heart clean as far as forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
but then also keeping short accounts as far as, when you find yourself believing a lie, you're not condemning yourself and God is not. When we talk about repentance, it has nothing to do with condemnation.
No.
It has
or
to
shame.
Do, yeah,
it's just freedom.
Exactly. It has to do with acknowledging, oh, that's dumb. I'm believing something that isn't true.
Right.
As Graham Cook would say, I'm going to get a better thought.
Yeah.
And just again, by speaking it out loud, Lord, I'm so sorry. I believe that lie about you, or I believe that lie about
myself. Or I still believe it. Yes. I still believe it. I know it's not true. I mean, your word says it's not true, but I can't get rid of it. So
right,
I confess.
Still feeling the feeling.
Exactly.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's all a process, but the whole idea of all of this is just to position you in a way, under the umbrella of grace. It's all under the umbrella of grace, that you take the heavy yoke off of yourself and you find ways to make it lighter and easier to find freedom and to keep yourself to where you can appreciate those moments of joy, those moments of beauty. And just write them for all they're worth.
Amen.
And then when you hit the rough patches, you have tools to deal with it. You're not surprised by it. You're not caught off guard by it, because it's like, oh yeah, I've been around this bend before. And you're not having this pie in the sky expectation that it's all going to be butterflies and roses this time around. No, it's probably still going to be messy. But even in the midst of the mess, there's always beauty. And I mean, that just kind of brings me right back to the whole reality of Christmas. I mean, whole nativity.
Yeah, well, thanks. Oh, okay.
I mean, we're mixing our holidays, but it's all good.
It's all good.
I'm the one who keeps mixing them. But when I thought about beauty in the mess, I thought about the incarnation.
Amen.
I mean, talk about beauty into a mess. And I mean, that was Jesus's coming, which applies to Thanksgiving, Christmas, every holiday, every day, every breath. Mm. So that seems like probably a pretty good place to land the plane. But yeah. Sue, would you maybe just pray for those listening, just whatever comes to heart and mind to help them position themselves in a place of just, better equipping to access His presence with freedom and truth.
Yeah. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence here in this place, me and Cindy, but wherever each person listening is right now, whether they're in their car or at home or walking with their headphones on, God, you know, we just want to call our spirits alive in Christ into leadership. And Father, I pray for each person that you would tune our spirits to your spirit, that you would align us body, soul, spirit, under your spirit, and that you would tune our spirits to heaven's frequency, God.
Yeah.
Father, we want to hear your voice, your truth. And I pray, Father, that the truth that you are always with us, you have always been with us, you knew us before we were conceived in our mother's womb, Father, you will always be with us. I pray that reality would become each person's reality, Father. And where there is woundedness, where there's pain, I pray, God, grace to hold the pain and invite you to take the journey with us, God. Thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us, Father. And I'm thinking of that each person here, Father, that they would know this love that surpasses knowledge.
Yeah. Amen.
That they might be filled to the fullness of Christ, of the measure of Christ, God. So I bless each one, Father, as we go into the holidays, but as we go into every day, as we, wherever we go, Father, thank you that you are with us. And I pray, Father, that that would become our reality, and that we would invite you into every lie, into every emotion that is painful or hard or icky that we don't like, that we would invite you with us, because you are Emmanuel, God with us. I bless each one here, God, and I bless them with your peace, your power, your grace, as we go forward from this day forward, God. Thank you. And we ask this all in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Thank you so much, Sue. Anyway, I trust you can all take these tools with you into the holiday season so that you'll be really better positioned to embrace all that's good and better equipped to deal with the challenges that the holidays inevitably bring. Anyway, speaking of the holidays, we will likely only post one more time before Christmas. So we will see you all then. Oh, I guess before I talk about Christmas, I should say have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. So anyway, we'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you would also consider leaving a rating or review, it really helps other people find us. The Presence Driven Life podcast is a ministry of the Arising Global. If you would like to find out more about the Arising or would like to support this podcast, please visit thearisingglobal.com. Have a great week living out of the abundance of His presence.